Professor Fedder, please, will you join me here on stage?
Hi.
Danke.
Bitte?
Danke.
Kann ich nur Wasser anbieten?
Unbedingt, ja.
Wie wenn es der Veranstalter gewusst hätte, haben wir...
Now we are having a very interesting person up here on stage who will be able to tell us how to continue in a fair way. Now, Professor Fedder is a professor for literary studies, but she speaks with the dead. I have a number of questions for her, but I would like to ask her first to tell us a bit about herself and why she's interested in our topic. Right, thank you. I would like to come back to a number of topics and terms. The heritage, for example, which could refer to the original history of European wealth or wealth in Europe, which is what you have talked about a minute ago, but it could also be about generations. But now you mentioned the dead. What role do the dead play for the topic we are interested in, i.e. bonds, debt, and guilt? What about the relationship between the dead and the living? Which relation do we have to negotiate with them in order to coexist? And I'm not talking about the dead within one family only or one or two generations. I'm also talking about culture and the economy. Now, I've worked on the last will for some time. And I considered the last will also in terms of literature. I mean, like Mr. Hirsch, I'm interested in literature with a capital L, because we can learn more and more by considering or by consulting literature. And I'm not talking about guide books only. Now, guilt, that's been an important topic in literature, which is banal if you talk about the dead and the living, because, of course, we all stem from the dead. That's a given. But that's banal. What does it mean, however, for our recognition of current times? And what does it mean with respect to the guilt-loaded relationship between the living and the dead? Now, you focus on literature, but this means that you focus on those who can write. What about those who are inheritors without being able to write? I mean, the last will here needs to be a written document. But what about the others? I mean, what about those who have and pass it on to others without writing something? Now, I focused on the literature of the 19th century and the last will, i.e. I focused on a period after the secularization and all the transformations of the 18th century. I mean, we normally consider the 18th century as a period of transformations, and then afterwards new moments begin, which also have an impact on the last will, which is not only about handing over property. After the 18th century, the last will becomes increasingly unimportant, and we also have changes of the inheritance law. So actually, you don't need a written last will anymore. And if you go and ask what do people write into a last will, you find that they usually write into the last will what you find in the law anyway. So actually, a last will is not necessary. However, when I looked at the texts I was interested in, I found that there are other aspects which play a role when it comes to last wills, and that's the ego. I determine, I decide, also beyond death. So this is an authoritative gesture. It's like I go and say, once I'm dead, this or that is to happen. It needs to be executed. Which is interesting, because in order to have a last will implemented, executed, and recognized, I need a third party. I need a legal sphere and guarantees. And, of course, I have those who I address, those who are to inherit, and those who won't get anything, or those who will be explicitly excluded from my heritage. Now, all this is interesting about the last will, and the last will is interesting because it matters in literature. Of course, you could go and ask about the mechanics and what do we have in the non-written context, and I'd answer your question, well, of course, we have the heritage law or the inheritance law, and this is an automatic procedure. So talking about laws and regulations, there is a law, there is an act. Now, what about surrender? What about passing on? Is it the individual who decides what to hand on to the next generation or to a third party? And is this also about establishing traditions? And what about the passing on of traditions? Now, this would be the cultural dimension, which cannot only be expressed in a written form. Now, the conference and the title of the conference involves your discipline, because the question is whether you need the legal dimension with respect to the heritage. But then it might be much more reasonable to go and say, whilst you live, try to be organized and give to others what you want to give to them. And if you die, whatever is left will become a common good. Now, during the French Revolution, there were lots of debates about this question, because the Ancien Régime, which implicated, so to speak, which implied, so to speak, the father figure, the grand and important father method. So there were laws also in order to revoke part of the rules and regulations adopted after the storm of the Bastille. But there are also quotations from debates according to which those who die should not determine how upcoming generations are to live. If you are dust already, you should not be the one to control the lives of the next generations. Now, talking about debt, we are talking about the debt of the children's generation or the grandchildren's generation with respect to the heritor. And this is an important feature in the novels of the 19th century, which often focus on a conflict between father and son. The son knows that he will inherit his father's debts, and literature has different ways of dealing with this problem. On the one hand, you have texts which focus on the disaster, on the catastrophe, in order to show the lethal character of the debt. And it could also be conflicts between mothers and sons. Gottfried Keller's wonderful novel, The Green Henry, Der Grüne Heinrich, and I'm looking at Mr. Hörisch here, Henry, who goes abroad, who is indebted, who is a failure, who cannot, who doesn't have success, neither economically nor as an artist. And occasionally his mother, who is a poor woman too, sends him money. And there is a wonderful quote in it about Heinrich, who distributes within 2 hours the money his mother sent, and his mother needed 2 years in order to save the sum he voluntarily and eagerly gives away. So this is a life based on a credit, and now he is paying back. But it's not his money, it's his mother's money, and there is no revival. On the other hand, he also incurs debts with his mother, and he will never be able to pay back this debt. But the plot of the novel is such that Heinrich has to go home because eventually he has become rich, not because he worked hard, but because he inherited. But he comes back much too late. His mother is dead, and he only sees her tomb. So the gift, no matter how you get it, has to be returned. And in Keller's novel, this has a lethal consequence, and Heinrich cannot bear with it and cope with it, and he dies soon after his mother. So there are lots of similar examples of the familiar generational miserable relationships of people who try to be strong, to become self-made men, which is a very different approach from what you've just quoted with respect to the French Revolution, where people said, now, if you die, your money should become a common good. Now, the novels I'm talking about are rather about the privilege of the individual and meritocracies. There is also the idea of the rich uncle, an idea we got from America in the 19th century. All of a sudden, people inherit money. So this is not about a son who has to pay back the debt of his father, but about a relative who shows up, surprisingly enough, and all of a sudden, and has a lot of money. So this makes us face the concept of the gift once again, the gift which pops up here and there, and which is different from debt, because you get something which you don't have to return. You don't have to pay back. And I've brought a quote, and this is, so to speak, the third aspect I would like to mention here. Samuel Butler's novel, Der Weg allen Fleisches, I would like to read the quote, because there is a terrorist father who is terrorizing his son because he is disinheriting his son. And then he is reestablishing his son, so his son figures out a new natural law which would do away with the simultaneous existence of parents and children. And he asks, why do generations have to overlap? And why can't we be little eggs, little cells in the safe of the Bank of England and eventually wake up and are like wasps that find out that there is enough to eat for us? And we also find that our parents, before we are born, are being eaten by sparrows. So there is a debt and there are bonds, but people don't fall prey to the debt or the bonds. They are not captured in the bonds. They are not kept prisoners. But the will is a tool of power, right? While people are still alive, yes? Yes, they are. I mean, as soon as you talk about the last will, I mean, the fatal aspect here is that you can revoke a will. And it also means that you have to reflect upon your own death, which is also an important aspect we should talk about. I mean, does it make a difference, according to your research, how much someone has and to what extent he or she reflects upon his or her afterlife? I mean, do wills change the richer you get? Do they include different aspects or more? Well, structurally spoken, not. The structure of a will, like the self-empowerment you've mentioned, or the reflection upon your own life, or the attempt to put yourself in a position which actually implies the statement that you are dead, a sentence you cannot pronounce, and yet you have to do so. Now, in the will, it says, once I am dead, and so on and so forth. So this is a gesture of power with respect to your descendants, irrespective of the money that is involved, irrespective of the sums that matter here. But of course, you have to look at different laws. In the United States, for example, no one is obliged to give a certain part of his or her property to his wife or children. It's different from the German heritage law. Now, you are also focusing on a different piece of research, and that's gender. Now, do women have different wills from men? And do they give away something different? Well, first of all, you have to say that women need to own something in order to give it to their descendants. That's an important aspect, I'd say. The respective heritage is different. I mean, that's what I see in the texts I look at, the type of debt. I mean, like, the son is going to be the successor of his father. So will there be less conditionality? Will it be less like, if you do this or that, I will do this or that, or you will get this or that? I mean, the tool of power I've mentioned. Now, in the Grüne Heinrich by Gottfried Keller, the mother does not play a nice role either. She is not really a person you'd sympathize with. But I also considered sons and daughters because I mean, we still look at families. Think, for example, Fräulein Else by Schnitzler. The father is indebted. The daughter spends her vacation there where the creditor spends his holidays. And since the father can't pay back the loan, his daughter is going to pay back the loan by selling herself, by selling her body. Now, this is going to end in a disaster. Fräulein Else thus undresses as the creditor wants, but she doesn't do it in his room, but in the hotel lobby, which means that she strips the creditor naked. And at the same time, she establishes a kind of a heritage. I mean, she dies at the end, Miss Else does. So selling your daughters, indebting your daughters, well, that's a different quality once again, and you have to also consider different categories. I've one more question I would like to urgently ask. Imagine Mother Gaia is in a dark room, and she gives the earth to all the beings who live on it. How much would human beings get? I mean, what would be the obligatory part? Or does men get everything or less? Well, I wouldn't call it a heritage. I would call it a gift. Now, this makes me nervous. The light is blinking. Maybe we have to talk about the gift, a present. That is something you get and you won't have to return it. And that's all I can say in view of the light.